Okay, guys, welcome to the Mic'd Up Outdoor Podcast, late season sessions. This is day number four, episode number 30.
Is it four or three?
Four.
Well, this is four.
This is day four. I mean, day one would have been kind of when we first got here. But yeah, this is day four. Third day of hunting, fourth day of being here. Yes. Yeah, okay. It is December 20th today.
Oh, man. Just getting late.
Yeah. Yeah, it's getting late in the season. We've got basically 1.5, maybe just one day of hunting left.
That's so sad.
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty much gonna be it. Like, the season will come to an end. At least for me, I don't know what you got planned.
There's really no more deer hunting that I'm gonna do after this.
So. Yeah, yeah. When we get home from Iowa here, myself personally, I'm transitioning into steelhead fishing.
Oh yeah.
So.
For sure.
Yeah, that's what.
For sure.
That's what both of us.
Absolutely.
That's what we love to do in the wintertime.
The boat is collecting dust in that pole barn.
Yeah,
it needs to be.
Thad's got a really nice river jet boat for, fishing the rivers and stuff. So we'll be back in Michigan, and we'll pretty much from here on out, we'll be steelhead fishing pretty hardcore.
Damn near living up there.
Yeah, yeah.
Through the winter.
The steelhead fishing is just as much of an addiction as the deer hunting.
There's times when I like it more.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So, but nonetheless, we'll get to that steelhead fishing down the road here as we go through the weeks to follow, and probably get some pretty cool guests on and,
heck yes,
and be able to tell some stories and stuff about that and
do a little like an old school steelhead stories session or something like a just bring on your boys and talk about some cool old trips you guys had back in the day. Yeah. That'd be a fun one.
Yeah, how we used to do it. Mm-hmm. So nonetheless, this is day number four here in Iowa. We're coming down to it. We had a pretty solid day today. I mean, we had numbers of deer, not great.
Yeah, it was the best day we've had.
It's the best day. I'm just trying to put a nice positive spin on it.
That's fair.
So, you passed on a buck this morning.
I did.
Yep.
Probably 2.5.
2.5 maybe year old, probably. 3. Yeah, nice. Maybe, yeah. He's for sure 2.5.
Good, tight, and tall 2.5-year-old 8. Looked like a split G2.
Yep, split G2.
He's going to be a great deer in a couple years.
For sure.
He's going to be a cool deer with the genetics he's got going right now. He could be gnarly.
Yeah, next year if he can... Like, he could be pretty cool.
He could be cool. Very cool.
So, nonetheless, yeah, we sat in a ground blind this morning up on basically just on the edge of a thicket. Well, not necessarily a thicket. An oak. It's a pretty big chunk of timber. Lots of oaks. It's had some TSI work in there to clear a lot of the underbrush out so the oaks get the majority of the nutrients and... The deer seem to love it. These oaks are kind of up on like high ditches or whatever. There's like a dry creek bed that runs down through the middle, and the deer they seem to flock to it. There's some pretty good cedar bedding in there too. So anyway, we're on the edge of it, and there's like this kind of, we call it scrape alley. It's just a short little kind of just cut through the...
Cut a little two-track.
Cut the
an
two
alley.
Track, yeah, yeah, through the kind of cuts on a high point coming off the hay field and then going down to the oaks. Sitting there this morning, and this buck, he just comes in probably about, 7:30?
7:30, I'd say, yeah.
Yeah.
Just peeked up, and
yeah,
ooh,
you,
there he is.
You poke me, and you're like, there's a buck. There's a buck coming.
Got me excited because I haven't seen antlers in a while.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're like, oh, it's a buck. And so I was able to get the camera on him, and he came out. He came right to the edge of the field. He was eating like those big bean pod things coming off the, I think that's the...
I don't even know what you call them.
Oh, it's the... Not a hemlock tree, but I never can remember them. It's like the big kind of dark purplish-looking bean pods.
They're like green right now.
Oh, that's right. He wasn't eating those big bean pods. He was eating the big... they look like about the size of a softball. They're really rough. I can't remember. Osage them. Orange, something like that.
I forget the name of them. He was munching on them though.
Yeah. Anyway, he was eating on those. So he came out, but he had another smaller buck with him.
Yeah, nice little 8-point.
You're definitely a year and a half old buck. Oh, they actually we took out this morning. We decided to take just the rattle bag with us, and then the grunt call, and just do some light grunts and just barely tickling the horns or barely hitting the rattle bag. I don't know if that maybe worked or
it's not the rut
or but not, I mean, but
it's
we did it, and then it was there shortly thereafter that
at this rate, what is it going to hurt?
Yeah, we're just trying to come up with something.
It's so warm down here right now that it's just like these deer have no reason to move to food. What's the reason? If it was 25 to 30 degrees colder right now, I'd be sitting on Honey Creek on the turnip plot and just sitting there patiently waiting.
Yeah.
Because you know damn well that something would roll in there if it was cold.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think going back through the cameras back here from, I'd say 2-3 weeks ago when they got some snow out here and it got pretty cold, that's when these food plots really, I think, got a lot of activity to them.
Yeah.
And since then, it's warmed up. It's been raining over, you know, through the gun seasons. It was raining. It was warm. It was just windy. And then, like, this week, like, it was 50 today. So, I mean, it's warm.
We had our early to mid-season gear on.
Yeah.
Should not be wearing that stuff right now.
No. No.
Should be bundled up. Snow coming down on us, but that's not the case this time.
Yeah. Yeah. So you passed on this buck?
Yep.
How far was he?
42 yards, 42 dead nuts, yards, broadside.
Broadside, yeah.
If only he was about 2 years older, I'd have freaking... It would have been a piece of cake.
Yeah, it would have been a pretty good shot. So you think he saw the blind?
He was looking I think he saw something that kind of looked a little funny to him, but he didn't seem to care.
So we got the pop-up blind next to a round bale. We don't have it brushed in or anything. There's really no way to really brush it in. It's in a wide open field. You know, we're just kind of just hoping that the deer look at it and think it's a round bale. So
right.
So, you know. So yeah, that's kind of what the extent of the hunt was. We didn't really see anything else after that. Yeah. We sat for a couple hours, probably another hour and a half after that, and got out, came back to the house. You're feeling better today?
A little bit. Yeah, I'm getting there.
You're definitely sound better.
Feeling better than what I did yesterday, but
yeah, you're pretty stuffed up.
Slowly, but oh yeah,
lots of snot.
So much snot.
Yeah.
So much, but one thing at a time, I suppose.
Right. So we came back. You put the drone in the air, flew it around the property.
Yeah, see what was going on.
Yeah. Our buddy Chad there, he asked that to kind of put it up in the air and maybe get some photos and stuff. Maybe he could use those for setting up the property or just getting a nice overhead view of the property. So putting the drone up is it adds, you know, if you took a photo, that photo, and you blew it up or whatever, it would definitely be cool to put those photos up.
Yeah.
Over the property. You can use them for, you know, like put pins in them and stuff to tell where people are hunting and, you know, stand sites and stuff like that. So anyway, so we did that and, I went for another little short walk today, checked out part of the property that I haven't really spent much time on, just kind of looking for future spots, you know, and just trying to figure this property out. Like, I think, like I said several podcasts ago, that Thad was just kind of the guinea pig for this property. We don't really have any knowledge of it, so we're just kind of learning it as we go. So, yeah, we went this afternoon. We went to a completely different spot. We actually got down into some cedar bedding and some more oaks and a creek bottom. Sat up in a huge cedar tree. Probably the coolest cedar tree I've sat in a long time.
Yeah, that was a nice one.
It's big.
The setup was perfect.
Yeah, the setup was perfect. We actually have some cameras down there. That's the area that we were getting the photos of Flame. We think that's kind of his core area.
Yeah, it's definitely a more ruddy spot, but we didn't really. There's just so many spots to hunt on this ground that we just never really crossed paths with that part of the property. And
when we were out here in November.
Yeah, yeah, and unfortunately never made it back into there during the rut, because honestly, if we did go back there in the rut, we both agreed that it would have been multiple all day sits.
I think.
Whether
I think
we saw
yeah.
deer or not, it's just one of those spots that you sit for like 2 to 3 days all day, grind it out, and you might not see very many deer, but sooner or later, a giant's going to come wandering through there, and it's going to be good.
Yeah. I'd be curious on what the percentage of people will do an all-day sit. Do you think it's many?
No.
No?
All the guys that I film, we don't usually do all-day sits.
I bet it's 1% or less.
They suck.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying.
I bet it's 1% or less of yeah. hunters that do an all-day sit.
All-day sits suck. They're like, well, you've said it in the past. It's like you start talking to yourself, especially when you're by yourself. I mean, you yeah. almost go stir-crazy.
You do a little bit stir-crazy.
Looking at nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, hopefully.
I used to do it without phones.
Yeah, that's even worse.
And that can get...
Holy cow.
Yeah. Your mind turns to jello.
Yeah. So. You almost start getting anxiety for no reason.
Yeah. It's true. It's
start
true. So.
Deep thoughts, deep thoughts.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that spot is a total rut transition area.
Oh, it screams rut.
Yeah. So, I mean, for futures, whoo, oh, buddy, that's going to be a good one. I think if you could get down in there into that bottom and maybe put I don't know, maybe just get down in there, brush hog it or weed whip it or whatever, put a little tiny little clover plot in there or something. Man, I think
it is a great little open area mm-hmm. that's probably, what, 20 yards wide?
Yeah, probably 20 yards wide, but it goes about, I don't know, 80 yards?
Yeah, it runs a ways down, and it's got like two beautiful water holes.
Yep.
Like big, good-sized water holes. Probably, I don't know. 10 feet by 10 feet.
Yeah, yeah.
And
just right hidden away.
Yep, just hidden away right next to each other. And then you could come in there, brush hog it, maybe put in a little just clover kill plot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. And then we were talking about it earlier because there's a level B road, a little two-track, mm-hmm. a seasonal road that we can jump on to from Chad's property and run down it, and then come up into Chad's property again.
Yep.
So we never have to go through the heart of the property.
Right.
Spooking deer, and you can just stay just off the edge of the property yeah. and never really have to go anywhere.
Yeah, it creates a good access.
Yeah, and then we just basically walk, park right at the gate from the level B road on Chad's property,
mm-hmm.
and walk across the top side of the field and down into the creek bottom. And we were talking about how, man, it would be nice if you could just come through there with a brush hog and just clear a path.
Just clear it out.
And then you could almost, like in the summertime, take like a leaf blower and just blow all those leaves and sticks and everything out of the way.
Yep.
And just have a nice, clean trail to walk down in there and be in there dead silent, because I feel like if you're going to walk through there in the morning, you're going to spook deer if you're not. Like, any sort of crackling. Like, yeah, there's bedding right there.
You're really tight into their bedroom, I think.
Super.
So, I mean, having clean access to and from is probably, it's key. And I think more about access now than what I have ever thought about in the past. You know, it used to be, it's just like, yep, this is where I'm going, and you get in there, and however you get in there. But I think more now, I just think more about how to get in and out of places.
And spooking less deer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just the more deer you spook, the more pressure you're putting in there.
Yeah, especially if you're that close to bedding.
Yeah, like you're in their personal space. You're in their bubble.
We're in their safe space, I think, down in there. So we ended up not seeing anything down in there. Bunch of squirrels. Kind of half-assed figured maybe that was going to happen. It was more like, we're not going in there to see numbers of deer. We're going in there to see a specific deer.
Flame.
Yep.
I was just hoping some crazy reason that knucklehead would just poke his head out for a quick minute.
Maybe he would show.
You never know. You can't count it out too soon. You might as well shoot your shot and see what happens.
Yeah, because we're running out of time.
Yeah.
Our hunts are limited.
Very. And I mean, you might as well do what you got to do. And if it doesn't pan out, it doesn't pan out. I guess that's the way she goes.
Yeah. One of the things that I wanted to talk about, and Thad and I had discussed, is like how to dress for these types of temps and these temp swings. I mean, I haven't really talked about it too much in the past. I used to be a big scent lock guy. I think there is some value to scent lock. The one thing that I found out was, at least the stuff that I had, and it's been a few years since I've worn it. I wasn't like super religious with how I guess took care of it, so to speak. I mean, I tried to do a good job, but the biggest thing that I found with the stuff that I had was it just really didn't have any wind blocker, and
that's a big deal.
Yeah, and that really, really came to. I just became very, very clear of the lack of how good the stuff was from at least a fabric standpoint. Not necessarily the Sunwell Scentlock technology, but like just the material itself. I was in Kansas on a Kansas hunt, and in Kansas, if you've ever hunted there, it's windy all the time, all the time. And I mean, you might even have a relatively warm day, but the wind is always blowing there. The stuff that I had, it blew through me like it was a piece of tin, like tissue paper. And I couldn't sit very long. I'd freeze my butt off. And then I tried some stuff that had like some scent blocker in it. I actually think it was scent blocker at the time, that had like a wind blocker in it. And it 100% changed the whole way, my whole mindset about, you know, the clothes that I wear, you know, for these hunts where it just seems like you can have these big temp swings, and even in Michigan, you know. So I tried some stuff, and then Thad got introduced to Sitka. Just basically, you worked at a sporting goods store, and you were able to get like a discount on the stuff. So Thad tried some out, and I know there's a lot of people that hate on Sitka. It's like the yuppie guy. It's like, you know, the yuppie guy's camo, which, whatever, that's fine.
Yeah, I get a lot of hate. I got buddies that give me crap for it, and if that particular buddy is listening, you know exactly who you are. I know who you are, and you know who I'm talking about, damn it. So if you hear this podcast, text me, because I know you know that I'm talking about you. But anyways,
getting back to it, you tried some out. You got a pretty healthy discount on it.
Yeah.
And really, that's only the only reason that we ever even came to get it, because I would never pay retail for it.
Well, at the time.
At the time. But since you've bought it, you've introduced me to it, and I'm like, this stuff has totally changed the way that we hunt.
I don't know if I could ever go back.
It's just the way it's very well thought out stuff. And like, it is a system. It's like a layering system. You know, much like First Light and Kuyu or whatever. Kuyu. A lot of those higher end companies out there, clothing companies, they've really, really brought the level of just high quality stuff.
And they're making it versatile, like you said, with the layering systems. It's not just, you're going to go out and buy this enormous jacket and enormous set of bibs and wear it, and that's what you're going to wear. And in early season, in mid season, you're shit out of luck. You're just going to sweat your nuts off.
Yeah.
But God damn it, in late season, you're going to be warm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's the thing about the Sitka stuff is it is a layering system, and they do definitely have, you know, from early season to late season. And then they've got, I think it's the Stratus stuff that I would consider is probably, if you were to be looking to buy kind of an all-around setup.
And we're talking whitetail.
We're talking whitetail, yeah.
Because they have big game setups, and they have turkey setups, they have waterfowl setups, and they have whitetail setups. They're four styles of hunting. And you can go on their website, and it'll ask what pursuit you are going after, and you can choose big game or whitetail, waterfowl, or turkey. Yep. And it'll dial it in to exactly kind of what you're looking for and throw you a bunch of ideas. But obviously, we're talking whitetail because we're whitetail guys. But anyways, continue.
Yeah, so if you were a first-time buyer of this stuff, I would definitely suggest like the Stratus setup. Myself, personally, I like the bibs. Some guys like the pants. I just like the bibs because the bibs, in across the board, I like bibs just because you get better coverage. Basically from your waist up, you don't get that with a pair of bibs. You have like the whole flap going up your back to where, you don't have any wind basically shooting up your back.
It's just a little extra
layer, basically.
Extra cushion up there in the core area.
Yep. And I like the bibs because the bibs actually zip all the way up the leg. Whereas with the pants, I don't believe the pants do that.
I don't remember.
I
feel like they zip, but I can't totally remember. And I'm not going to say they do or they don't.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess, like, for the all-around season, I would definitely suggest the Stratus. They did come out. They've got the EV2, but then they also just this year came out where you could get the Stratus in an Optifade, which is more the green.
You got the elevated 2 camo pattern, which is obviously for elevated hunters.
Yeah, that's more grayish,
colors. Whitish, black.
Yep.
It's going to be for your elevated hunters that are sitting in a tree stand, and it's specific for not being silhouetted.
Yeah.
It's kind of supposed to mimic colors of like the sky almost.
Yeah.
Where you're not going to get silhouetted, but they also came out with the subalpine
Optifade
camo.
Yeah, which is more greens and browns. Yeah,
it's like the Western, you see a lot of elk hunters wearing, which I have a suit in that camo pattern. I love that camo pattern because it is perfect for turkey season as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not too bad. So, the pattern itself, it's not my most favorite pattern. I'm a diehard Predator camo guy. Yeah. I love freaking Predator camo. I've worn it since it came out, and I just, I love that actual pattern. It's pretty simple, but anyway, this is the Sitka's pattern.
Yeah.
But as far as, not try to go off on a tangent or anything about camo patterns, that's a whole debate in itself. But as far as the suit goes, that Stratus suit, it's got wind blocker in it. It's kind of got like a fleece lining. It's pretty good. I mean, I would put that stuff from, say, 50 degrees on down to like 20 degrees.
100%. Yeah. And obviously you're going to layer under it.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's the Stratus, it's a Stratus jacket and the Stratus bibs.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're going to have.
Obviously, that would be your outer layer.
Yeah. Obviously, they're going to have, you know, the Stratus hat and the Stratus vest and all that stuff. But Dad specifically rocks the jacket and the bibs, and then he will layer under it with other layering systems from Sitka. Like you wear their heavyweight long johns, the merino long johns.
Yep. I don't wear... well, I wear a Fanatic hoodie underneath the jacket, and I like the hoodie because it has, like, the hands, at the ends of the sleeves, they have holes, and then they have, like, this flap that creates, like, a mitten. So I basically don't have to wear any sort of gloves ever. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you're looking for something that's kind of cool, like, it's warm. It's definitely warm. It's got a nice zip-up hood. It's got, like, a face mask. I highly recommend the Fanatic hoodie. Mm-hmm. Pretty sweet.
It's great for early season, too.
Great for early season, too.
You can wear just that Fanatic hoodie
with
the bibs when it's, you know, it's pretty warm out.
Yep.
And you'd be good to go. But the big thing about the Stratus is that wind stopper. The Gore-Tex wind step stopper by Gore-Tex is life-changing.
Yeah. Big difference.
Life-changing.
Yeah.
It is a go-to must-have.
For sure.
And usually, you know, once it's getting down to those colder temps, Dad'll rock the Stratus, but we also have some Amazon special heated vests.
ProSmart heated vest. Found them on Amazon. They're a fleece vest. Yeah.
They come with a little battery.
Yep. Got a little
power pack.
Yep, portable. Battery power pack. They're... You know, like I said, they're fleece, so they're quiet. They're form fitting, and
what are they? $100?
Yeah, I think it was maybe 150? Somewhere you can find them. You know, anywhere from $70 to $100. They are probably one of the most important parts of the setup.
Oh yeah,
because you can wear like a lighter. Like the Stratus stuff into the colder days, and then just throw on that heated vest. Huge difference.
Yeah.
Huge difference.
If anybody's looking for a nice, fairly affordable heated vest, look up ProSmart on Amazon. And I guess if you're struggling to find it, get a hold of Dad. He'll send you a link to it. So
yeah. I mean, and I have zero affiliation with any of these companies that we're talking about. This is just the stuff we use and like we like it because it works for us.
It works fantastic. We kind of got the systems nailed down at this point.
Yep. So I rock the Stratus stuff. Thad, you're a little bit different. You don't have Stratus.
Mine was a little bit different since I was kind of jumped into the whole Sitka thing a little before you, before I really knew
what everything was.
And I ended up buying a bunch of stuff in the Subalpine pattern. I bought like called the Heavyweight Zip Tee, which is a lot like your Fanatic hoodie. It's basically the exact same
thing. Yeah, without a hood, though.
But no hood, and it doesn't have
the thumb holes in it.
Yeah, it doesn't have the little hand finger covers. But it's basically the same thing. There might be some minor like fabric details that are a little different, but not very much.
Yeah.
And then I also have the Heavyweight Bottom Long Johns, which I'm wearing right now. These, I will never wear a different pair of Long Johns again in my life. These are the warmest.
They're pretty solid.
The warmest Long Johns ever. And that's another thing is we never wear anything under our bibs other than Long Johns.
Yep.
No sweatpants, nothing. We just wear these Long Johns. They're like a heavyweight merino something. The merino is the only way to go because merino is good for moisture wicking, where cotton, you can start sweating or you'll get wet, and it'll stay wet. It's like a sponge. where this merino is really good for moisture wicking, where you start sweating or get wet, over time, it won't just sit in there and start getting stinky and staying soggy. It'll dry up and you won't smell like crap. And it's better with wicking moisture. But anyways, not to jump off topic here, but I also have, so I have the heavyweight Zipti, the heavyweight Long Johns.
That's your base layer.
That's my base layer. And then this is my early to mid season setup. And then I'll run the Mountain Pants, which is kind of more of like a Western elk hunting kind of spot and stalk pants.
They have like knee pads in them, built in. They don't have built in
removable
knee pads.
I wear them once in a while if I'm ever like doing any filming out west. Like I had them on the elk hunt I filmed in Nevada this year.
And where you might have to get down on your hands and knees. Yep.
But you can remove them. And, I mean, they're not anything special for knee pads, but they do make a difference.
Yeah.
Especially when you're in some rocky area.
Rocky or thorny areas, you know, cactus or whatever,
but
sandburrs.
The material, I don't even know what you would consider them. They're super light pants. Like, I wouldn't, but my legs don't really get cold. I never have to really worry about my legs getting cold. It's more or less my toes, fingers, that's about it. I mean, it takes a lot for me to get cold, what it seems. But they're fairly like heavy duty kind of water repellent pants, and they don't really like, they're pretty good in the rain. I mean, I don't even know what you would consider the fabric, but they're the Mountain Pants. And then I have a Traverse hoodie, which is more or less a jacket, but it's just like a lighter jacket. It's like a fleece lined jacket. It's somewhat water repellent, not super water. I would say resistant. Like it's not going to be something you want to wear in pouring down rain, but I'll run that setup and then I'll have the heated vest under. And I mean, I can run that right
now. You rock that tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't even really need the Traverse hoodie on, to be honest with you, but I'll run that all the way into mid-20s if I have to, and if it gets a little chilly, I'll just turn that heated vest on. But I mean, especially if I'm doing spot and stalk hunts, really no matter how cold it is, as long as we're walking and spot and stalking animals, I don't get cold as long as I'm keeping my body heat up when I'm moving.
Yeah.
And I'll wear that setup right there.
Yeah. But
that's what I'll run. So it's quite a bit different from the Stratus. It doesn't have any wind stopper in it. But, I mean, obviously, if it was to get pretty windy and real cold, then I'll move on to the next suit that we're about to talk about.
But
that subalpine suit that I have is actually perfect for turkey hunting because in the springtime, in that May, April, May area, things are starting to get green again.
Yeah.
And my word, it looks fantastic.
Yeah. And I honestly do like the subalpine, even in the trees.
I personally like it more than the elevated 2 camo pattern.
Yeah.
Personally. I don't know, it's just something about it. I really like this pattern. It seems to blend with everything. I mean, I had it up in Alaska this year, and that's kind of a unique place with color schemes, but I felt like it honestly blended in pretty well.
Yeah.
I know a lot of guys up there, they'll wear a lot of like kind of browns and grays and kind of that more bland, darker colors. Yeah. But, I mean, I thought it was a fairly good pattern for up there.
Sure. So we'll wear that from say 50 all the way down into the 20s,
early to mid season.
Yeah,
obviously this is a little weird.
Yeah, this is weird. Yeah, we had to kind of come and bring the whole you know slew of clothing with us just because I mean it went down into the teens and then although now like today it's up in the 50s, so we kind of had to change how we dress, even from morning to afternoon.
We were wearing our heavy suits this morning and then moved into our early mid-season stuff this afternoon, evening. So pretty drastic.
So the suit, the Fanatic suit, is the suit that we'll talk about next. That, I mean, that is the ultimate cold weather suit. Like, I love it.
That shit's life-changing.
I mean, it absolutely, if you ever have, you know, any question or, you know, if you're the type of person that it just cannot stand the cold and still want to, you know, hunt at a high level, I highly suggest checking out the Fanatic suit.
You want to survive in that tree for an all-day sit?
Even in the coldest of temperatures.
Get yourself some Fanatic. We're not trying to sound like Sitka douchebags here.
No.
Because there's a lot of people that just buy it because they want to just be the best of the best and look good while they're doing it. And that's not the case at all.
I bought it because the shit works.
I truly believe in it. I truly believe in it. And I know there's so many people that hate on it just because it's kind of like that Gucci.
It's expensive.
It's like the Gucci.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or of the hunting world. It's just like, oh, you're just paying
for the name.
Yeah, you may look good, but you don't know shit about what you're doing. And I'm not saying we know what we're doing, but God damn it, I'm comfortable in that tree.
Yeah, yeah. The way I see it is the longer you can stay in the tree or on stand, no matter what you're doing, you up your percentages of success. And that's what I wanted. I wanted something that I was able to stay on stand longer all day if I had to. And up to this point, it's the best I've found.
Yeah. And yes, I may have gotten, in the past, I got discounts.
Yeah.
We don't anymore.
No.
But I will tell you now that I have experienced it and you are wanting to find some newer gear and stuff that'll work, I promise. I mean, I know it's expensive and it's a tough pill to swallow, but it's almost worth spending retail price for it.
Yeah, for sure. And you can get it. You can find sales on it. They'll run sales.
Oh yeah, they run a ton of sales all throughout the year. But anyways, that Fanatic gear, that is the ultimate late season bow hunting, gun hunting, whatever.
Yeah.
Gear.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna say that it's super streamlined. It feels a little bit bulky.
Oh yeah, I look like the Michelin man out there.
You feel a little bit bulky in it, but I can assure you, from my own personal experience, that you can bow hunt out of it. It never
gets in the way.
It doesn't hinder any of my movements.
Yeah. And no, you've killed multiple deer out of it.
I've killed a couple, at least a few deer out of it since I bought it. And it never once did I ever feel like, oh man, I feel like awkward. I feel like I just don't have any range of motion or anything like that. It is bulkier stuff, but like I said, it doesn't hinder your movement at all. It's super quiet too.
Oh yeah, that's the big deal about it.
Yep.
It is not waterproof whatsoever.
No.
I would highly recommend not wearing it in a rainstorm. And if you're gonna, wear a really good rain jacket.
Yeah.
Because you are going to be soaked.
Yeah.
Because it is straight fleece.
Yeah.
Damn near straight fleece. It's not all fleece, but I mean a lot of it.
It has some sort of repellent, water repellent, but you're not going to wear in a rainstorm.
No, not in a pouring down rain monsoon.
But when it comes to cold, I haven't found anything better. I was in North Dakota here a couple of years ago, negatives, like we were down into say the negative 20s, and I literally never once got chilled.
Yeah. There isn't an ounce of wind that gets through that jacket or bibs.
No. My fingers, the cool thing about the Fanatic, at least the jacket, it has this muff. The way the zipper comes across your body, it's not like a straight up and down zipper. It kind of comes from your left hip to your right shoulder, basically.
That's particular for a right-handed bow
hunter. And they make it for a lefty, too, which would zip the other direction.
Correct.
Which would be from zips from your right hip to your left shoulder. So there's and they're, the way the material is set up for left hand or right hand on the inside of your, you know, on the inside of your arm that, you know, say would hold your bow, the material itself is more of a, I don't know what it is. It's smoother. It's not
as bulky, I guess.
It's not as bulky, yeah. So, and then it creates, with that kind of, that cross body zip, it creates like a muff, a hand muff, in front of you. Like almost when you have like a sweat, you know, like a hoodie, sweatshirt hoodie, it, you know, you have that pocket in front of you. Well, that's kind of what this pocket is in the front of this Fanatic jacket. And man, that thing is perfect. It's so well thought out.
You get some hand warmers.
Get some hand warmers in there, man. It's really, really nice. You can keep your hands in there, and then, like I said, I've got that. What I would wear. So this would be the breakdown of what I would wear with that Fanatic setup. I only wear the long john bottoms, and then just the Fanatic bibs. I think they only come in Fanatic bibs. They don't make Fanatic pants.
No pants, just bibs.
So I would just, even in the coldest of cold weather, just the long johns and just the bibs. And then underneath the bibs, I would have just like a moisture wicking like t-shirt or a, you know, or like a crew neck.
Under the jacket, you mean?
Yeah. So then under that, I would have like the Fanatic hoodie. Like I was telling you earlier, it has like the sleeves with the thumb holes in it, and then the little rollover pocket type mitten. So I would wear that, and then I would just wear the jacket over that. And I mean, that's all I wear.
That's it.
You don't need anything else, and you're not. The one thing about it, you're not walking in this stuff. At least you're not walking distances.
I would highly recommend not walking in this stuff if I were you. And if you got a long walk into your tree stand, I would recommend packing your gear away your pack.
And putting it on once you get to stand.
Putting it on at the bottom of the tree.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, you will sweat profusely.
You will sweat. We've got relatively short walks this morning. And like we did wear the suit itself, but
I was hot when I got there.
But like you can unzip the sides of the legs pretty much all the way down, and it opens up those legs so where you're not super, super sweaty.
Yeah. But yeah, they dialed that jacket in specifically for a bow hunter.
Yeah.
I mean, like you were saying on the arm where like, so your string doesn't hit all that fleece.
Yep.
It's more compact.
Yeah, it's a different type material on that.
They got the hand muff. They got a little pocket up on your chest where you can put your rangefinder. So you got your bow.
Yep, rangefinder, you know, or grunt call or something.
I shoot righty, so obviously the zipper goes from my left hip up to my right shoulder. I got the pocket up on my left side of my chest, where I can usually, I'll put a rangefinder in there, grunt call, and like I'll grab, say there's a deer out in front of me, I'll have my bow in my left hand, grab the rangefinder out, quick pop a range, back in the pocket, release on the bow, draw back, shoot.
Yeah.
So they got it dialed in.
Yeah, so that covers pretty much from early season to late season, but
there's so many more options out there, trust me. I have multiple other things from Sitka that I'll wear on these other random hunts that I go out and film. Like I got a down jacket that's super light, really made for packing.
That's the Rover.
The Rover down jacket. That's also windstopper.
Kind of like a puffy. Puffy jacket.
Yep, it's a puffy jacket. But we could sit here for hours and talk about this, but we're talking about whitetail gear, and that's what we run.
Yeah.
And again, there's no affiliation with Sitka.
No. Zero. No, we have nothing. I like their stuff.
Just love your guys' gear, Sitka.
Yeah, we like their stuff. Now, with that being said, I've never tried out First Light.
Nope.
Never tried out Kuyu. I've never tried out. Oh, what's the other? There's some other stuff. Maybe
there's First Light, Cabela's makes some. Yep. Cabela's Instinct makes some good stuff.
Yeah.
Nomad.
Yeah.
There's so many.
Yeah.
Out there.
So, like, so many great. I don't brands. Have anything to compare it to other than the old Scent Lock that I wore.
Right.
And that stuff was so subpar back then compared to the stuff now. And maybe Cabela's, maybe Scent Lock's come up with a better system. I don't know. I mean, and then the Predator stuff that I had, that stuff was, it was more just the pattern on the outside of a, you know, a pretty subpar jacket or pants, you know. I just love the pattern itself. But, so yeah, we don't really have anything else to compare it to other than, you know, those few things that I listed off. But, man, it sure has changed the way I hunt.
Sit a lot longer.
Yeah, sit a lot longer. I used to suffer through.
I'd never do it out in these Kansas-Iowa winds.
No, I used to suffer through it and still never be able to do like a full day sit.
Something about Kansas winds just wants.
Yeah.
It just makes you want to just stick your hand in a blazing hot flame and just keep it there. That's how cold those winds are.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So. Since we've gotten it, it's definitely been an upgrade, you know, from a clothing standpoint. But anyway, that's kind of, we kind of talked about it. We wanted to go over a couple of things that we, you know, some of the gear that we wear throughout the season and stuff, and figured this was a good spot to talk about it. Yeah. So, like, if you guys got any questions about it, Thad's taking a pretty deep dive into it. I mean, I've just kind of got what I need. He's got more pieces of their stuff than I do. But all the stuff's been pretty quality stuff. So, yeah. So if there's any questions that you guys might have, feel free to reach out. Anything that we can help you with on that, from a deer hunting standpoint, it's been okay. It's not been great. It's been okay.
Let's just say that's why we're talking about what we wear.
Yeah.
It's been, the hunting's been a little rough, so, you know, we got to add something else.
Some sort of content.
To talk about.
Yeah.
So the podcasts here aren't just 5 minutes long, because if we didn't talk about the other stuff, we'd probably be here, there, and gone before you guys even realize what happened.
Right, right.
So
if something great happens on the deer hunting standpoint, we'll definitely talk about it.
Oh, yeah, you bet your ass.
You'll get a nice detailed.
It'll probably be too long. Let's just say that.
Yeah, for sure. So we're hoping. We're certainly hoping. We're working hard.
Fingers crossed. Baby.
Yeah, seeing if we can't put something together and make something happen before we got to head back.
Fingers crossed to Michigan.
But anyway, that's going to be it for this evening. Hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. If you haven't listened to the three prior ones, go ahead. Jump back in. They're short. You know, I think they're all probably 20 minutes or less long. So, yep. I mean, easy listening. You can listen to it on your drive to work or, you know, while you're getting ready, you know, for work in the morning or whatever you're doing. So, Sunday morning coffee, whatever.
Yep, they're great. I've been getting a lot of love from some buddies of mine, been texting me all week saying podcasts are great. I'm like, I ain't got nothing to do with them. That's all you, Pop. So.
Yeah, so I just enjoy sharing this stuff with people. And if somebody gets something out of it, then that's cool. And if they don't, then don't listen.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
We don't need you.
No. Yeah. I mean, I'm sharing this for people who enjoy the same things that I like to talk about. And that's who this whole podcast is for. So,
We're just sitting here. Let's just say the whole point of this podcast, I guess, is we're sitting here BSing about the stuff that people normally would BS about when they're with their buddies.
Yeah.
And they're drinking too many beer and the good stories gets to flowing.
Right.
That's what we're spitting. We're making the stories live for people to hear.
Yeah.
And that's
why we're just hitting record.
That's why, yeah, exactly. We're just recording it. Maybe some of those stories don't really need to be heard, but, you know.
Yeah, I got a few of them.
Yeah. There's probably many of those that I also have that should never be heard by anybody, but, you know.
Hey, maybe one of these days we'll hit record when we're all sitting around drinking beers and just see what happens, see where it takes us.
That's scary. That's scary.
I got a few, too. got some bats in the belfry. So, all right, that's going to be it. You guys all have a great night. One more day tomorrow. We'll be back again. So this is the Mic'd Up Outdoor Podcast, the late season session. We'll talk to you all later.